Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 45 from Canto 8, Chapter 5, The Demigod's Appeal to the Lord. Satvam no darshayatmanam asmat karana gocharam prapananam dadrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam satvam no darshayatmanam asmat karana gocharam prapananam dadrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam. Ladies. Kunanam dadrikshunam sasmitam su satvam no darshayatmanam asmat karana gocharam prapananam didrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam satvam no darshayatmanam asmat karana gocharam prapananam didrikshunam sasmitam te mukham bhujam saha. He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tam, you are my Lord. Naha, to us. Darshaya, be visible. Atmanam, in your original form. Asmat karana gocharam, appreciable by our direct senses, especially by our eyes. Prapananam, we are all surrendered unto you. Dadrikshunam, yet we wish to see you. Sasmitam, smiling. Te, your. Mukham ambhujam, lotus face. O Supreme Person, translation. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are surrendered unto you, yet we wish to see you. Please, make your original form and smiling lotus face visible to our eyes and appreciable to to our other senses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees are always eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form with his smiling lotus-like face. They are not interested in experiencing the impersonal form. The Lord has both impersonal and personal features. The impersonalists have no idea of the personal feature of the Lord, but Lord Brahma and the members of his disciplic succession want to see the Lord in his personal form. Without a personal form, there can be no question of a smiling face, which is clearly indicated here by the words, Samsmita te mukham bhujam. Those who are in the Vaishnava Sampradaya of Brahma always want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're eager to realize the Lord's personal feature, not the impersonal feature. It is clearly stated here, Asmat Karana Gocharam. The personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses, even though he's beyond our senses. This nice message in this verse, this is the scene, is once again the demigods offended somebody, in this case Daksha. Daksha cursed them, they lost their kingdom, they were in distress. Those who have something and then lose something, somehow there's this thing called distress, possessiveness, and then loss of the possession. Even the demigods have that. So they went to Lord Brahma. Brahma took them to the shore of the milk ocean, and now they're offering prayers. We've seen this situation elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. Certainly the classic one that we're familiar with is prayers by the demigods appealing to Krishna to appear in this world. The Purusha Sukta prayers, and those are standard prayers, and specifically the appeal for the Lord to descend, and he consents. But in that case, as in this case, they're not seeing the Lord, they just know that he's there. And similarly in this case, they have an appeal. They have a problem that's beyond their capacity to address, to deal with, and so they're devotees. They're not. We can look upon the demigods as mixed devotees, but let us not amplify the mixed part. They're devotees. They're very dear to the Lord. They have very great responsibility, and their quantum of devotion is very significant. The mix is also there, but they're great devotees. And so they have access to go to the shore of the milk ocean. Please remember, that's in the spiritual kingdom. Not an ordinary capacity to go to the shore of the milk ocean and offer prayers. So they are very powerful and very dear to the Lord. And the purpose behind the prayer is the appeal for return, regaining their kingdom. But that's not where they begin, whining and complaining and appealing. Their prior prayers, they're glorifying. They're stating, enunciating, speaking the glories of the Lord's transcendental position and so many other nice things. His connection with all things, even the air and the this and the that, the elements of material nature, and how everything comes from his form specifically. Although they're not seeing his form. They know the connection of all things. This is Sambandhangyan. They know the connection of all things with the source of emanation. And the source of emanation is a transcendental spiritual form, his transcendental spiritual form. So, similarly here, the first part of the prayers was this Sambandhangyan glorification, the glories of the Supreme Lord, his opulences of the Supreme Lord, his position as the Absolute Truth. Now here specifically, a shift, and they're requesting to see him, for him to show his form, his smiling face, specifically. As Prabhupada is pointing out, there's no question of formlessness with a smiling face. Or when there's a smiling face, there's form. And there's person where there's form. So the Absolute Truth is a person. And they're not interested in the impersonal. They're interested in the personal. Some persons aren't at all, as he's pointing out, it's not at all interested in the personal. They're interested in the impersonal. Yayitam mam prapadyante. Like Krishna is entering into the wrestling arena. There's that very famous and beautiful verse where Balaram and Krishna have the tusks of Kuvalyapita bloody on the other end, draped over their shoulder, striding into the wrestling arena. And different persons see according to their in the language of Bhagavatam, Svanam Bhava Sororuham. A verse from the second canto, one of my favorite verses. It describes both the process of purification, just as we're doing right now, hearing the message of Bhagavatam and the glories of the Lord and his transcendental form. Hearing those topics, transcendental topics, has an effect on the heart. Of course, the effect certainly depends upon the state of consciousness of the heart, or you know, the person who's engaged in the hearing. So it's good for the neophyte, it's good for the intermediate, it's good for the elevated. It's the Paramahamsa Samhita for those Paramahamsas. Same message, sound, same sound vibration. So the verse is, it directly connects with this. Pravishta karna randrena svanam bhava saroruham dunoti shamalam krishnaha salilasya yatasharat. So break it down. Pravishta means enter, like we entered through the doorways here. Pravishta karna randrena, the sound vibration enters through the hole of the ear. And then it doesn't stop there, it goes to the heart. Sva, and specifically, svanam bhava, saroruham. Saroruham means the lotus of the heart. And then the word for word that Prabhupada has given is very significant and very sweet. Svanam, he indicates, is one's according to one's liberated position. So one may not be in the liberated position, but it acts on that platform anyway. It's because the sound vibration is transcendental, acts on the transcendental platform. Svanam, so each one of us is going to strike our hearts differently. As Prabhupada explains in the purport of that verse, the various primary relationships, neutrality, friendship, neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Svanam bhava. So bhava, we have our common understanding, but it has various meanings. Bhava is the stage before prema. And bhava bhakti, because it's an essential feature of nectar of devotion. Vaidhi bhakti sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, bhava bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. And the purpose of the Vaidhi Bhakti is to come to Bhava Bhakti, is to come to Prema Bhakti. Just a little like sidebar over here, just some appreciation. During our, some of you are asking, what's up? Is this a GBC meeting happening here? Sura said on the way in. It's an organization development group, a committee of the GBC. And one of the topics where we were speaking, so it started with this. Let's think about ISKCON 50 years from now, 75 years from now. How many temples are we going to have all over the world? How many devotees will there be over the world? Same? More or less? Let's hope it's more. So let's plan for more. And what's the structure of the organization of ISKCON going to look like to take care of all those devotees? The more devotees, happier devotees. What's the structure going to look like? So that's how it started. So there's a group of persons that are from that seed. Then there's so many other things, but you know, the organization development. And one of the topics that we spoke about yesterday was, it's an interesting word, the organizational hierarchy. What is it? And what you know, looking into that future where we have so many devotees and so many temples and like wonderful, but at the same time, like a lot of weight to carry for those that are. Sir, Swavas is nodding his head. Hey, you know, be a temple president for a while. You know, try 40 years of being a temple president and see how your shoulders are doing after that. And then, you know, just expand it. So that's nice. Let's expand. And so I thought it was very nice. This is a sidebar. This is not the... Anyway. Gopal Bhatta and Kaunteya spent half a day just, you know, think tanking. What are the ways that we can have organizational hierarchy going into the future like that? And then, you know, they looked at possibilities and they looked at elements. And one of the elements is an organization structure that supports bringing people into the Vaidhi Bhakti stage and carrying them beyond the Vaidhi Bhakti stage. Because isn't that what that's where we're supposed to be headed. It's where we're headed. And so a structure that facilitates that. Certainly Prabhupada's books facilitate that. Although there's really strong, and appropriately so, strong emphasis on the vidhis of sadhana bhakti. I was thinking about reading and rereading the purport. The demigod, three times, the demigod's desire to see the form of the Lord. And we're commonly hearing Bhaktisiddhanta said, first deserve, then desire. Yeah, we've all heard that one. Or, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way, Krishna will want to see you. Anyone that's been around for a while, certainly Prabhupada disciples have heard that over and over and over again. But at the same time, we should want to see Krishna. So it's like go and stop, or stop and go. What are you supposed to do with that? Well, we have to become qualified. But qualified for what? Qualified for our relationship with Krishna. And in that qualification of our relationship with Krishna, it's not impersonal, it's personal. It's very personal. It's you know, I remember when Nectar Devotion was printed and published, and we were already having, you know, morning Bhagavatam class and evening Bhagavad Gita class, and Prabhupada said have a third class every day, studying Nectar Devotion. He considered it so important. And what's the topic of Nectar Devotion? Vaidhi Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. It's like part of our... Rupa Goswami has given it to us. So we emphasize Vaidhi Bhakti. At the same time, there must be encouragement and certainly like an indication of what that stage is. And it's an indication here. And these are, we'll go back to, they're mixed devotees. Isn't it? Otherwise, they wouldn't become demigod. They'd be in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. They're in their position as demigods because they have a service propensity, and they have a controlling and enjoying propensity. Otherwise, they'd be in the spiritual world. And same for us. So, another little sharing. I can't help it because I just did it. A group of us were in Gita Nagari during the Memorial Day weekend while you're having your Prabhupada festival, a bunch of other people having the Sadhu Sangha retreat. We were having a nice retreat in Gita Nagari on the topic of, the theme was acceptance and progress. That is, acknowledge with honesty and, you know, introspection and, you know, the real picture of where we are, and then where we want to go, and don't lament and your reversals and, you know, calamities and grieving and, you know, all those things that, you know, with our, the reality of our situation, addressing it appropriately, not just tucking it under the rug and trying to run, and then progressing. So it's progressed towards what the goal is. It was a very nice retreat. Like different speakers on that theme from different angles. How do you deal with failure? How do you deal with calamity or trauma? And how do you deal with you're just not strong? How do you deal with being where we are? And at the same time progressing. So these are demigods. They're not like us. But in another sense, you know, they have strong devotion. They have a problem. They're going to the Lord with their problem. We want our kingdom back. But their bhakti is they want to see his form. Well, so first deserve, then desire. Well, in one sense, they deserve. They're very elevated souls. So at what standard, when does the bell ring, or you know, what's the litmus test for when is it appropriate to a desire to see the form of the Lord, and what does that mean? So when we're doing our, back to that second canto, chapter 8, verse, Pravishta karna randrina svanam bhava sororuham. When that sound vibration enters into the ear and then enters into the heart, into the lotus of our liberated position, svanam bhava. We have a constitutional relationship. Like in stai bhava. So depending upon the stage of development of our Krishna consciousness, that's going to touch our heart differently. It's going to cleanse cheto darpana marjanam, and then progressively further and further and further stages of evolving of our relationship with Krishna. And then Prabhupada says in the last line, of this purport is as clearly stated here, asmat karana gocharam, the personal feature of the Lord can be directly perceived by our senses. Well, wait a minute. He's at Hokaja, he's beyond the senses. So how can you directly perceive the Lord by your senses? Because he's beyond the senses. What to speak of qualification? Even when we're qualified, how can you perceive the Lord with your senses? There's a very popular verse from Sri Brahma Samhita that we all know. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hridayosha valokayanti yam shama sundram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. So, prema anjana. Anjana is ointment. And the ointment of prema. Prema anjana, churita bhakti vilochanaya. So that the This is Lord Brahma reciting this verse. Because I've very carefully studied Brahma Samhita. I was so confused by Brahma Samhita, you know, pick it up and read a little bit, put it back on the shelf and think about what was that? And pick it again and just like forget it. It's, you know, you need a dictionary for every third word. So I finally decided. I read a letter that Prabhupada wrote in 1967 to Pradyumna. Apparently Pradyumna had found or somehow received a copy, he was a book gatherer, a copy of Sri Brahma Samhita with commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta. And Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada, he wrote Prabhupada apparently, is it okay to read it? And Prabhupada wrote this resounding letter saying, not only is it okay, I want all of my disciples to thoroughly understand the subject matter of Sri Brahma Samhita, because it explains everything that's within the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's completely consistent with the message of the Bhagavatam. Besides, this commentary is by my spiritual master. So I want all of my disciples. Now, Prabhupada's given us lots of instructions, but I somehow like resonated with that one. Because I like Bhaktisiddhanta. That's another long story. So I've been studying it, and it's profound, it's creamy and rich and deep and whoa. Anyway, so in that final section, language is very specific, where Lord Brahma, who's the one amongst these that are offering these prayers in this morning's verse, is described as a mixed devotee. Whoa, he's the preceptor of our sampradaya. Mixed devotee in this sense. After all of these wonderful prayers and his mature realization of his position as an eternal maidservant of Krishna, he still has a material desire. But his desire is, I want to build the universe. Now we have a little desire that says, whatever it is, I want to build a temple, or I want to something, I want to write a book, or I want to something. I want something. His desire has been implanted or imparted or infused within his heart directly by the personality of Godhead, but it's in relation to the material energy, for sure. He's got to like know so much about the material energy, an inconceivable depth of understanding of the material energy and its pushes and pulls and causes and effects and everything. Otherwise, how are you going to create a universe? So he's concerned about being implicated in that. Will that take him away from his realization that he just shared with these beautiful prayers? So without those details, we can, quoting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's not in this unmixed position. Otherwise, he'd be in Goloka Vrindavan, he wouldn't be Lord Brahma. He's doing a service. But anyway. And this is something that we should be very, very, triple very careful about, of not evaluating Lord Brahma. I remember one morning walk, someone was asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you know, how did Lord Brahma make this mistake of stealing the calves and the cowherd boys, and how did Lord Brahma become attracted to his own daughter? How we just understand that he's the head of our sampradaya? Prabhupada was like thunder and lightning at once. He is pure enough. End of discussion. we're not entering into this territory in any way other than by the guidance of our previous Acharya, Bhaktisiddhanta, And Lord Brahma himself speaking in ways that there's some, he has some affinity for doing something within matter, creating universe. It's a real big one. Some people here maybe are write computer software programs, or maybe, you know, mow the lawn, or maybe, you know, fix the fence, or maybe do the, you know, whatever it is, do something. Whatever, we all do something. We have some ability given to us by Krishna. How do we manage that? It fits in completely with the subject we talked about this weekend. Recognize where we're at and progress. So now in this Premanjana, it's I'll read the translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyamasundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So with those eyes, not these eyes, because you can't, with these eyes you can't see, but with those eyes you can see. And here's Bhaktisiddhanta's language. Get ready. When the devotion of the neophyte, that's us, reaches the stage of bhava bhakti, that's where we want to get to someday. The pure eye of that devotee is tinged with the salve of love by the grace of Krishna, which enables him to see Krishna face to face. The phrase, quote, in their hearts, means Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. The sum and substance of this shloka is that the form of Krishna, etc., is not a mental concoction, but is transcendental and visible with the eye of the soul of the devotee under trance of love. Let us come to that stage. And there's no prematurity of hankering to come to that stage. There's a lot of work we have to do at this stage. Remember hearing Prabhupada say several times, when you very clearly identify a goal, it's very easy to take steps to achieve the goal. Like, you know, we did with our book distribution for North America for the past several years. We set a goal. Without setting a goal, good luck. That's where it's been. So we set some goal. And then this one did it this way, and that one did it that way, and we found the steps to reach the goal because we set a goal. I remember a friend in college, he had a little sports car. He used to go for rides. And I asked him, when you go for rides, where are you going? He said, I'm just going for a ride. Huh? I hope you get there. So in life, where there isn't a goal or purpose, what's that? Well, some people say the purpose is just experiencing things. Like, you know, the journey itself is the goal. Like, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Period. No goal. Just row your boat. That's the goal. Just go through life, beginning to end, and just experience things. Subtext, sense gratification. And to achieve that fruit of activities. And, you know that's the program. So by default, if that's there's no goal, that's the goal. And if there is a goal, then we can make steps to achieve the goal. So this is the demigods praying. They want something. They want their kingdom back. And we may want whatever we want. And the personal level, or a community level, or an organizational level, or a whatever it is, you know. If you're Vasudev Datta, you want the deliverance of all the conditioned souls in the whole universe. All the conditioned souls in the whole universe. That's a lot of souls. So, degree of selfishness or selflessness, whatever it is, a desire, we go to the Supreme Lord. And then this part of it is, so they're conditioned as we're conditioned, wanting to see the form of the Lord. One of the books that Prabhupada translated, the Ishopanishad, says the same. Hiran mayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham. All of our brahmacharis and bhaktas get that training. This is the prayer. So it's a desire that we must have the qualification to fulfill the desire. Suppose we don't have the qualification. Don't put the desire into like sleep mode. It says become qualified so that higher attainment of being in our relationship with Krishna, not prematurely, artificially concocting, imagining, but recognize what the teachings of Rupa Goswami are. Follow according to our adhikar. The vidhis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this elaborately, according to our stage of spiritual attainment and also our guna and karma position, there are vidhis, the do's and the don'ts. And according to our position, we follow. And we aspire for the stage above us, and the stage above us, and the stage above us, and to ultimately be with Krishna face to face in loving transcendental service. I'm not qualified, but I know the goal. And according to my position, that seed of that desire is in the heart. Svanam bhava sororuham. And the cleansing takes place. Dhanoti shamalam Krishna. Sanilasya yatasharat. Just like in the autumn season, the light rain that comes after the rainy season is the hot summer season. The hot summer season, the rainy season, and then the autumn season. So the pools and lakes are muddy, and the light rain has this way of taking the mud right to the bottom. And then you can see very clearly in the lake. So similarly, we can see within our heart the soul and the soul's aspiration, even in our conditioned state, the higher aspiration through this process of hearing carefully. I think I'm going over my time. Any comments or questions? Yes, Archita.
It seems there are so many stories that bring the volume down a bit. It's too high.
So many stories what?
That show that Krishna will appear to personalities even before they're qualified to actually see him. Like the story of that boy who wanted to take some gift to school because the teacher said everybody had to bring a gift. And he went to the mom and the mom said, we're poor, we don't have anything. Go to the forest, that's where Krishna is, and asked. So he's wandering around, Dinabandhu Baba, Dinabandhu. So Krishna came to him. He was not qualified. He was not like some high paramahansa.
The thief.
Yeah, so many people. It seems that Krishna appears based on just that strong desire to see him, regardless of your qualification.
Well, like with Narada, you know, his statement to Narada was, normally, I don't show myself. I'm not perceived because he's under the control of seeing or not seeing. I don't reveal myself, but I'm purposely revealing myself to you because of your strong devotion and continue. You won't see me again. He makes the rules and he can break the rules. And there's the rule and there's the exception, and he can do that. He can grant amnesty if he wants to. He has that power. So the operative thing, as you say, is it's the strength and what Bhaktisiddhanta is writing here. It's the power and the purity of the devotion. So the purity is not just how strong is the desire, but it's the not desiring something else. Exclusive. That's rare. Because generally it's, you know, mixed. Yes.
Yeah. the primary goal for individually and at large is to establish a relationship with Krishna, yes. love him and serve him
yes.
as the ultimate. Now, from the administrative point of view, the strategy of preaching, we already know we have goals. Seven rules, seven purposes that Prabhupada established.
Fantastic, yeah.
So now my question is, what will be the works out? So you're talking about the how to go about to achieve those goals, isn't it? Because we already have defined our goals by Prabhupada. Or in which sense?
Let me respond to your question with a question. Isn't it common, the answer is yes, isn't it common that we establish goals and because of our disposition to think ourselves as the doers, we go marching down the path of achieving the goal, forgetting the goal, and more absorbed in thinking of doership than the goal. Isn't it? That's common. So the part of the challenge or part of the purity of any individual, us or any individual, is keeping the goal in mind that will hold at bay this very strong, fruitive thing. It's like a stain that won't go away. Even when we come into devotional service, it's, I'm going to do it. It's, you know, fruitive activity. I'm going to achieve. I'm going to accomplish. I'm going to win or whatever it is. Certainly some endeavor is required for a pure devotee. Prabhupada endeavored. So an endeavor is fantastic. It's essential. At the same time, the purpose. Anyway, that's the challenge. Does that address your question? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, we're done. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.
So, if I could just have your attention for a moment, we're having a special guest this evening for Bhagavad Gita class. It's going to be what time is it going to start? Yeah, 5:30. So we just found out that Dina Bandhupur was going to come this evening and give a Bhagavad Gita class. He's from Vrindavan. So he'll be here at 5:30 p.m. with the class till 6:30. Then he'll do Artik, and then after the Artik continue till 8 o'clock. So all of you are welcome to come. So 5:30 he'll be here doing the Bhagavad Gita class.